The call. Daryl, welcome. Singing away already.
Yeah. Take one. Sorry.
Welcome, mate.
How are you?
Not bad. Yourself?
Good.
So we've got multi pool winning top DJ of Essex and a beyond. Mate, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
We obviously met properly recently at a wedding.
We did.
Where you was phenomenal. Week. I already knew you was phenomenal because I stalked you in the background.
Cheeky.
exactly. Someone's going. But thanks for popping on, mate.
That's all good. All good.
Good. Everything well?
Yes, you?
Yeah, great, mate. Good. Just getting there. We moan off here. So, like with everyone that I speak to, mate, obviously we're going to get to where you are today, what you're doing today, and absolutely smashing the wedding scene for sure. So, but where did it all begin? Where did it start? Where did you grow up?
So, I grew up North London, and in my very, very early days was when I was about 11, 12 years old. I started in youth club. We used to go down there every weekend. With all the little kids, and there was a sick DJ booth. It was so good. And it was like, how can I explain it? It was like a cage, like a proper little grilled in cage. There was like a little dance floor. And I used to go in there and see the bigger kids. So like all the like 16, 17 year olds would be in there. This was all the vinyl deck. So everything was all vinyl. And I just looked through this cage and I was like, I like this. I like the look of this. This looks really, really good. And I remember one day I built up the courage and I was like, I'm going to ask them to have a go. And I did. And that was it for me. As soon as I was on them decks, I was like, I love this. This is what I want to do. And then there was one party that they held there once and they let me have a go. And being in control of the crowd, I was like, that's a bit of me.
It's got to be such a buzz to hold a room.
Amazing. It's so good. So when I did that, That was where the buzz originally came from. So that's where it all started. And then as I went into like 13, 14 years old, I stuck with it. And my mum and dad invested heavily because equipment's not cheap, as you know. Especially DJ equipment is ridiculously expensive. So I had to get them to invest in me. And then they basically got me my first set of decks, like proper vinyl decks. And then from there, I started doing like friends and like family members, little birthday parties in the house, and little house parties and stuff, which I've actually got a picture somewhere.
Brilliant. Oh, you have to get it. We'll have to whack that up.
Yeah, it's proper old school. It's a very old photo. But yeah, so what I did then was start doing the little kids' parties and stuff like that. And I just absolutely loved it. So from there, doing all like the little kiddie stuff and the little family bits, it then moved on to the nightclub scene, that's a whole different level. But that was sick. But that means, because when I got to my teenage years, I didn't want to be held up and go to, you know, kids' parties and stuff like that, or do private parties because my mates couldn't come. So I thought, if I go nightclubs, then get all my mates in for free, get free drinks all night. It's a win-win, isn't it?
Living the dream.
Nice and easy. So that's what we did. So I went to the nightclub scene, did quite a few years doing clubs and bars and stuff like that, which was great. And then it weren't until I got to about, how old would I have been? 21, 22. And I thought, right, now we've done the clubs now for a bit. It was good, but it wasn't earning money. It was more of a free night out.
Yeah, these owners exploit that. They know. Everything you just said about taking your mates along, bit of a booze up. They know what they're doing.
We get it with
photography as well. I'll give you 50 quid to come to this event. It's true. Back in the day, I'll take your 50 quid and I'll have a great night.
That's exactly
Pay for the kebab and the cab. Oh, baby. Sweet.
Done.
Now I'm like that, mate. I've got bills to pay.
Now, when you're older, life gets a little bit more serious. So with the whole club thing, I was like, it's not earning money. So I then re-looked, because I was in that sort of party scene. I was doing weddings. I was doing the odd weddings when I was a kid.
Brilliant.
And I remember being about 14, 15, and I did a wedding. So my dad obviously used to drive me. Bless my dad. He's a proper supporter.
Brilliant.
And then he used to drive me to these big weddings, and I teamed up with this band. They were called Back to Basics or something. I think that was their name. And they used to do big luxury weddings. God knows why they picked me today, but they must have seen something. And I used to go along with them, and they would obviously do, as you know what bands do, they do like X amount. They do a set, and then a DJ would come on and do like a half an hour, 45 minutes while they take a break and then come back on. So I would do that to start with. That was like the little bit of sort of where the weddings kicked off. And then when I did the clubs, I went there for, I like weddings more. I find weddings has more of a, just a nicer vibe, you know. Everyone looks nice, everyone smells nice, it's just a happy vibe, it's good, it's just, you know, what it's like. It's a nice
nobody atmosphere. Turns up, even though we see odd bits of bother, one ever turns up, no one gets up to get dressed for a wedding to go, I'm going to have an absolute mare today, do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Where I certainly had mates when I was younger that in a club, their night wasn't complete unless they were having a tear up at the end of the night.
100%. So. And that's what I went. And you'd see it every week. Yeah. You go to bars and clubs and there'd always be something kicking off and the atmosphere was always a bit weird. So, yeah, I wanted to move away from that. And that was the time when there was the money situation. I thought, I need to start making money from doing this. There's no point just doing it for fun. Although I love it and I love my job, it's great, but it doesn't pay bills. And when you get to that age where, you know, you're still living with your parents at 16, 17 and they're asking for money and got to pay them back for all that DJ equipment and they've bought for me.
That at the technique shop,
we've got to start paying us back now, son. And I'm like, okay. So yes, that's why I started getting back into the weddings.
Yep. So what year was then, how long ago was that?
Oh, questions. Personal questions.
Well, it's less rude than saying how fucking old I am.
Well, I got back into weddings. So that was when I was about 22, 23 maybe, I think, possibly. I'm not far off 40 now.
I'm in a 40 club already, mate. There's nothing wrong with it.
I'm 38, so I still got... No, yeah, 38. I'm going to be 39 this year. But yeah, all good fun.
And so was you in... So have you been in... Was there a gap or have you been in weddings since that?
No, so I've always had... So when I got back into weddings from that young age, I did have another job. So
right, okay.
My day jobs, I was in and out of loads of jobs, but my day jobs were never... They were good money, but I didn't enjoy them as much as what I enjoyed DJing.
Yeah.
So for me, DJing is my like number one passion since I was very young. So for me to do a day job, I then had to, because obviously I needed the money, the DJing wasn't enough. It wasn't bringing in enough. It was just the odd bits as I was building it up from a young age. So the day jobs were to keep me going and then I'd have a bit of pocket money for the DJing. And then it weren't until about 5 years ago when I finally made the jump to full time.
Yeah.
Which was so scary, isn't it? Honestly, for anyone, everyone used to say to me, like, you are sick of what you do. You smash it every time. Everybody loves what you do. You could make a thing of this. And I was always like, Can I make a thing of it?
Totally relate to that. Yeah.
It's really hard to be brave and push.
It's that reassurance of money dropping in your account that I struggled to let go with.
Yeah.
I'm like, but if I'm really crap this week, guess what? It don't matter because I'm still employed. Yeah. Two, if I go sick this week, it don't matter. I'm still getting my wages.
Yeah.
And if it was busy at work or it weren't busy at work, it weren't my problem. My money was coming in every single week.
Yeah.
And the thought of giving that up, and I was the same as you with photography, it was something I wanted to do. I was never, ever really satisfied with any day job that I had.
Yeah.
But I never actually truly believed I could make a good living from doing it.
It's like,
and then when it happens, you're like, why did I do this earlier?
That's exactly what I went through. But in saying that though, that first year of doing it, it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. I'm not going to lie. It was really struggled. Like, because when you're working full time and you've got that on the side, you can't put your 100% focus into either because you're split down the middle. It's, you're trying to do too much.
Yep.
So I had to give up the day job to push the weddings, and I couldn't do it at the same time. So basically, when I did the full-time jobs, it was like my whole energy in that was taken up in them. So any little bit of energy I had left or a little bit of time that I had in the week, I'm like, right, I need to get back to people. Or I need to do something to my website. I need to do this. But I just haven't got the time. There's no time there to do it. Yeah.
It sounds like you went through the same process I did. I want to take photos and I love taking photos. I love editing photos and I want to go and do all that. And then someone said, right, oh, by the way, you need to be an accountant. You need to be a marketing expert. Yeah. You need to be like,
you need to do your finances.
Admin, communications. And you need to be available 24/7.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It's true.
No one told me about this.
No, they don't tell you about that part until you realise when you're like 1 year in, you're like, oh yeah, who's going to do that? Who's going to do it? Yeah. It is tough.
But brilliant. Now, so, and then obviously when you went full time, was you in Essex already or have you only recently moved?
This was a kind of a weird one as well. So I've been North London my whole life. And when we made the jump to Essex, I'd literally done the jump and then we was in Essex for about a year. And that's when I made the jump. And
right.
Again, when I made that jump to doing this full time, I then went and got a part-time job because I was so worried that... I was like, I don't know if I'm looking at what I've got booked in and I'm like, I just don't know if this is going to pay for my lifestyle. I'm not sure. So it was really, really nerve-wracking. So I actually got a part-time job. And the part-time job, it was all right. And I think what they did, they started, they kind of went into a period, I think this was before lockdown, they had a quiet patch. And because I was only part-time there, they actually said to me, we're going to have to get rid of you. Like, we don't want to, you're fantastic. You know, we love having you here, but we don't need you now because we need to look after the people who are here full-time. And because you're only part-time, you're kind of the first out the door.
Yeah.
And I think that was the day when I remember going home that day. And I was a bit disappointed because I quite liked the people that worked there. It was not a great job, but it was just something on the side just to keep that money topping up. And I remember going home and I got on my laptop and I was like, this is it. And this is where I need to now push for what I do. So I remember literally just loading up my website. I started touching things up. I started inquiring. I sending emails off to venues, suppliers, this, that. I went full steam ahead. And then my dad had said to me for 3 or 4 years, was like, you need to make this jump. You need to just do it. Put your all into it. You know, it's going to be tough, but you can do it.
Did you find, because I feel like you've got a similar sort of energy in terms of when you're in front of people, I should imagine you don't have much difficulty convincing a sale or converting or becoming because people say, I always say, if I can get anybody in front of me and I'm not even trying to over push it, I just actually be myself and people tend to warm to it and then book you or they I can get along with you and things like that. Did you find that when you started, you was like maybe not being fully yourself, or did you get straight off and running? Because what I did is I thought I needed to be this particular person, and I was sort of not really being true to myself, and I struggled. I really, really struggled. And then I remember going to a wedding fair, and literally I went, "Ah, fuck it." I literally went because I didn't want to. I didn't, obviously, it's out of my comfort zone. I wasn't saying I was used to. It was just like a cattle market of people walking past.
I hate wedding shows.
And I just I went, "I'm here." And I just started chatting to people. I remember like the very first show I did, this bride come up to me and I was like, he's like, and she was really short. And I just started ribbing her about her height. And my wife's sort of looking at me like, what are you doing? This girl went away. She come back. She went, I want a book right now. She said like pure banter. She said, I loved it. And then I realized that actually people buy you.
This is one of my biggest things that I say is personality, just by being you, just being natural and just how you are is what people like. They don't want to see you trying to be someone who you're not. You just be you. And if you're that funny guy that likes to take the piss out of people's heights, yeah, it works. And people, I like that. If someone, yeah, if I meet someone and they instantly take the piss out of me, I'm like, you're my guy. Yeah, I like exactly that. I like that. That for me, yeah. But that's me. Obviously, that's not going to be for everybody.
No, exactly.
Some people might be like, oh, what an arsehole.
But I think we're clever enough to read that scenario very quickly.
Yes.
There's certain types that rock up. That you just watch your P's and Q's and you do it in a more professional manner.
Yes.
But I know at wedding fairs, I'll have the same sort of introduction and then very quickly I can get a gist of who I'm talking to and what they're about. And like I say, it's a bonus for me. Like all my couples, I get booked me obviously for a reason, probably like yourself.
Yeah.
And you always have that good connection. It's very rare that I can give you a bad story.
Yes.
About somebody, a booking.
Yeah.
But it just works.
Yeah. And this what you said. It's about getting on a level with the person. So if you're on the same, if you've got the same goals, like you got, I don't know, or similar personalities. When I get some couples that ring me, I get a lot of brides, more brides than grooms. So I speak to a lot of brides. And some of them, you'll click instantly, whether it's face-to-face or normally on the phone. I do a lot of phone calls or video calls. And you just have this instant connection. And if the conversation, like a lot of the time I'm on the phone to someone, we're not even talking about weddings. We're talking about their dog. And
yeah, exactly.
And it just goes off. And it's like, we're an hour into this phone call. And it's like, we're just talking about, we're putting the whole world to rights. It's mental. And it gets so sidetracked. But we're so like on the same page. We just click. And instantly you kind of know, this is my kind of couple. This is like, they're on the same wavelength. And I feel like, you can also, like we you just touched on a minute ago, you can also bring yourself up and down a peg slightly depending on who the client is. If you get someone who's very, you know, ta-da and a bit posh, you wouldn't be effing and blinding.
No, exactly.
Whereas if they start sort of saying the old F-bomb and that on the phone and that, I'll do the same. I'll just be like, because that's who I am. I don't want to hold back, you know, but you do have to have a bit of etiquette.
Yeah, exactly. But you sort of just, I don't know, I always say like the chameleon, you just sort of mould into who you're talking to.
Yeah, you do, 100%. I agree with that.
But no, and it's interesting because like I say, we meet so many different types of people, but yet, we get, like, I don't know about yourself, but you get the mixture of bookings. So you'll get people that are from, like, say, maybe North London. I'll get people that can resonate with the East London.
Yeah.
And then you'll get someone, like, really, that is not from your world at all.
From Surrey.
Like, because I've got, to be fair, mate, we're knocking anyone from Surrey.
No, it's a lovely area, that's what I'm saying. You get someone from Surrey.
But it seems to be that you can, your personality definitely shines through from different types of sort of worlds that we meet and cross.
100%. So I'm trying now to, you know, I don't want to be someone who I'm not. So I just be me and I'm trying to now attract couples who are just like-minded like me.
Perfect.
They're just fun. They're down to earth. They're just good, chatty, nice, really fun people. I know we don't like using this word in the industry, but the bridezillas.
Yeah.
Don't think I've ever had one.
No.
I don't think I've ever had one because that connection we get before, I assess them just as much as what they assess me.
So, I would generally say that I've had bridezillas, but not bridezillas with me.
No.
So I've seen them be that way with other people. And when I've questioned it, be like, yeah, but you've reassured me. I don't have to worry about you.
You've done your job.
I think obviously you're going to get types of people that are control freaks. Am a control freak. So
everything to go your way.
Yeah, basically I'm a spoiled brat. That's basically what it means, right? But generally, like if I'm not in control, I don't feel comfortable in terms of certain things. So I can sort of get it to a point.
Yeah.
But if someone reassures me enough, look, it's sweet, this is going to be, this is what's going to happen, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then I will mellow, I'll be fine, and I'll go with it. So you sort of know how to address certain people because I've got the same issues myself.
That works. See, I'm a little bit like that in a way because it's like I know how I do things. Like when it gets to the party side of things, I know certain orders that I like to do stuff.
Yep.
And if there's, I don't know, see, I'm not a fan of Toastmasters. I know they're lovely people, and I'm not a fan of them. But when they sort of, when I get couples say, we've got a Toastmaster and he's going to take control and he's going to do the cake cutting and he's going to introduce the first dance, I'm like, No, he ain't.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm in control of that because I do it in a way that's fun and it's going to add energy and excitement, whereas they do it like, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I don't like not having that control over what I do.
But also what I would say from an observer looking at that situation, that's also your time to address the audience. Like, right, you don't want to be seen to be talking over every song, but you've got that opportunity to get that character across.
Yes, to it's the my room. Chance on the mic exactly. to sort of introduce like.
So I tend to agree with you. Like, for, there's two types of Toastmasters. There's good Toastmasters and there's shit ones.
I don't have many because I am sort of one, but a newer version of.
Yeah, I work with, like, generally I work with probably three or four. One of them's a couple. Amazing. Lovely. Yeah. They won't tell me how we're doing things. They'll always talk to me. Nice. There's a couple of, like, say, and without sounding horrible, the younger generation of Toastmasters.
Yeah.
They're not like you say, when I started, like, there was people like in their 80s still doing it, and bless their hearts, like you say, lovely people, but they were still trying to implement traditions that went out before I was born.
I know, and this is a whole subject now. If you want to get into it, we'll get into it.
For legal reasons, there's nothing wrong with Toastmasters. No, but generally, the ones I work with, like, the ones that come up to you and say, how can I help you? If you need anything, do you want me to round up people? I have a list of names for group shots.
Yeah.
I'm like, amazing. You'll get some people that literally just turn up for a dinner and wear a red jacket. And then at the end of it, they do nothing all day. And then at the end of the speeches, when everyone just wants to dance, he wants to talk for 10 minutes about, like, and you think, but you haven't done nothing. You've got to earn that speech.
You can't just faff around.
You know what I mean? I've been running around like headless chicken getting people. Yeah. But then, like I said, a couple of ones that I work with, they help me. They're amazing. And I should imagine if they work with you and you said, well, can I do that? They wouldn't be like, well, it's my job. Like, they'd be like, absolutely. If that's what you want to do, that's fine.
Yeah. To be honest, I very rarely ever deal with them because I offer that service.
Yeah.
A lot of couples book me for the all day, which includes me hosting, which is, it's a 2020 onwards version. Like, it's a bringing it into this century, newer. One of my mates calls it hybrid Toastmaster.
Yeah.
new age one, but it's just more fun, cheeky.
Exactly, and in all seriousness, there's a market for both. Like, you're going to get you're going to get families that want that traditional line.
Yes,
and then I know for a fact that if me and my wife wasn't married and had to get married, we would want that relaxed. Like, we did. We had a singer that Toastmastered all day.
Nice.
Like, it wasn't a big thing back then.
No,
but he did it, and he made silly, like, little things, like just our humour. I think he was waiting for someone to come sit down the toilet, and as they were walking back, he was making like sloshy noises. So they were like, you know what I mean? Like, where you been, mate? At a poo, like. Yes. And I know, like, that's not going to be everyone's humour thing, but to us as two families, it was like, that's what, I don't want it rigid. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Today, I think in today's life, I think a lot of couples where the generations are moving. Now, you know, even like my generation, a lot of the people getting married today are like our sort of age, and a bit like, so we're like 30s to 40s is quite a real popular age to get married now. So it's all sort of my age group. So it's kind of like, I know all the music choices, I know they want, because I wanted the same. I want just something very relaxed. I wanted it chill, fun, engaging.
Yep.
You know, we didn't hold back. And it's like the speeches and stuff. I was like, everyone's like, can we swear? I'm like, go mental, man. Yeah, exactly. I don't care. The more the better. Like, and we went raw with it. And we had swear words on our, like, it was mad. It was, that's a whole other story. We'll save my one in for a podcast. But that's, I think today's life, people just want relax. They want fun. They're not so much about traditions, which is why I think the Toastmaster is good for some people, but I think it is fading out now. And I think that whole too formal stuff, I think not many people are after that now.
No, I think they're very heavy venue dependent.
Yes.
I think they come with the packages. And I think also there's certain venues that they're a must, because somewhere like Alsett Hall, it'd be car crash because there's like so much going on that you would need someone to make sure people ain't crossing each other and going in the wrong rooms to eat the wrong dinner.
Yeah. Well, you're in the wrong wedding, mate. Over this way, please.
But I suppose while we're on that subject, essentially, like, so with a full-day package, just give a little brief of like, what would that entail? Like, what would you...
So that... Basically, so I've got three packages that I do. You've got the ultimate one, which is the big one, which has got absolutely everything from from setting up the equipment early in the morning where possible. I will play background music for the guests' arrival. So when they're all coming in, wherever that may be, if you're having a ceremony inside, outside, there'll be a speaker system there where I'll be just playing some nice music, which I talk about with the couple, so we're on the right track. Yep. We don't just play random stuff. They're like, what the hell is this, mate? What are you doing? So, so entrance for when everybody comes in. I do all the ceremony songs, so walking down the aisle, songs while they're signing the register, and then their exit song back up the aisle. This next bit is probably the most popular bit, which is the DJ set for the drinks reception, which you haven't seen this, yeah?
No. It just sounds good.
This is so good. So it's like the Ibiza sunset mix.
Just chilled in the garden.
In the garden. Everyone's having canapes. They're drinking cocktails. They've got their champagne. They're all mingling and chatting. They're having photos done by yourself. So while you're kind of over there doing photos and everyone's here drinking, we're just smash out a DJ set, Ibiza, housey. When the sun's out, even better.
Yeah, like it's just got that good
vibe. It's just got that vibe. It's really nice. So, and you can add sax onto it as well if you want to make it like proper Ibiza.
Yep.
Which I've got one of those coming up. I think next year someone booked that, which is quite rare. Not a lot of people do that. But some people are like, yeah, we want to go all out. So they've got like DJ and sax for the drinks reception.
Yeah, people don't realise how important it is. It's so, so
honestly,
good.
See, but see, because I do it, I don't see weddings that don't have it. So it's really interesting when I hear from photographers and stuff like that, that we're like, no, we went to this wedding the other day and it was like they had no music throughout the day and it's just really dry.
No, changes dull, the whole dynamics.
100%. I say this so often. It's such an underlooked thing that music, just background, it doesn't have to be in your face, but just something is better than nothing.
It changes moods. 100%. Yeah. Music's powerful in terms.
Powerful.
So you got that, the DJ set, then you go into the evening. So
then once you've done that, we do background music for the meal as well.
Right, cool, sweet.
All the introductions, so introducing all the speeches and just having a lot of fun with the guests. There's a lot of like banter again. So like what you said with your wedding, you just have fun with the guests. You know, someone needs to know where the toilet is, if someone needs something, if the bride wants to go to the toilet. Oh, what am I going to do with my bouquet? Give it here. I'll take it. You go to it. It's just that extra pair of hands and just having someone there to overlook and do things. It's basically like a Toastmaster, just as you can tell from my personality. I'm not this boring father. I'm like, ladies and gentlemen. It's more like, oh, yeah. So it just hypes it all up.
But they're the best entrances.
Yes.
That's what I say to people. Go mad. Milk the shit out of it.
That's probably the bit that everybody loves so much. I get so much feedback on is the grand entrance. So when I do a grand entrance, I get them to pick their song. Never allowed to pick a soppy song. This has got to be like
Uplifting.
It's got to be a banger. It could be garage, it could be a club classic, anything that's got a bit of oomph. So when I introduce, I prep all their guests up, I get them all excited, we get the napkins out, or if they've got neon sticks, whatever, we get them all out, get everybody up on the chairs, waving around, go absolutely nuts, introduce them in, and then boom, hit play on the song when they come in, and everyone's all like, yes! And it creates such a good buzz for when they come in. And I've seen clips that venues have posted up where they've kind of, you know, the venues introduce them in, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And everyone's like, and it's like really awkward. And I'm like, that cringes me out, honestly, so much. It's the most cringes.
So that, like you say, that whooping, I always say to people, what they go to me, they've given us two choices of what way to walk in the room. I've got to take the longest way.
Yes, 100%.
I can't stand it when they come in the room. And this is advice. So any,
walk and sit straight down.
Any brides listening, right, milk it. Absolutely milk it. Because the video footage, the photos, just the whole thing's lift. And like you say, picking a banger. Like I've even heard like old classics, where sing-along classics.
Anything,
like,
and everyone's anything that will
just
get the crowd.
Yeah, just
I've had
going.
A popular one that I get a lot is Freedom From Desire.
Yep.
Banger. It's one of them that you play towards the end of the night. Everyone just goes absolutely nuts.
Probably West Ham have ruined that now, isn't it? Everyone wants to sing about Danny Dyer getting shagged.
There's a lot of songs that have been ruined over the years. R. Kelly ruined a few of his own bangers, which is really annoying because they used to be so good on the dance floor. Michael Jackson almost slipped up, but I think he got away with it because he never got charged. So
he had status.
But yeah, I always say to couples as well, when you're doing the grand entrance, I'll always remind, because I say to them, you know, you say, you give them so much information over time and you're so busy, you know, life and the wedding planning and blah, 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 and they forget a lot of stuff. So just before the entrance, I will really say like, right, we're going to get you in a second. Milk the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Do not hold back. Just go. It's one bit of the day where you can just go nuts and you can just enjoy it. And I say, don't run to the table. Go round every table. Do a lap of all the tables like this. Go round and high five your guests. And I said, the footage you're going to get back from the photographer and videographer is going to be epic. And you're going to look back just and go, about, that was sick.
Yeah, we had a groom. I don't know if it was last year or year before, we had a groom and he read the assignment and understood the assignment.
Like, get naked.
He went in and he's just walking around and he's literally like, and it literally, such a difference, though, everyone, it? He was so funny. But he was contagious. He just had this personality. Then everyone was just having a great time. But yeah, it
makes a difference from your perspective as a photographer, though, doesn't
it? Because 100%.
When you get those extra pictures, you're going to be like, you know, you've got Nan up there like this, going, way. You're going to be like, you're going to love delivering that. Because then they're going to be like, oh my God, like DJ done this, captured this, and you've gone and taken the most sickest photo of stuff that normally wouldn't have happened.
The thing is what I find, especially you just touched on that, and I know we're jumping a little bit ahead, but in terms of what you do well and have it, and that's why the investment into having someone at your wedding that's going to bring that energy and get around, other people will join in because they don't want to miss out on the fun.
Yeah.
So like, for example, even at Polly's wedding, her nan who really struggled to stand and walk, she got up and was having it on the dance floor for all of 10, 15 minutes. But the knock-on effect, like, and this is where it all links together, is if you've invested wisely in your entertainment, you've got someone in there that knows how what they're doing and how to get everybody involved, that then encourages people that wouldn't necessarily normally let their personalities get involved or their health or whatever.
Yeah.
I then get photos of that happening and it's there forever.
It's priceless.
And people like think, oh yeah, like I'll just get a photo. Like I can show people albums and they can look at it and go, oh yeah, we want all of that. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, but to get that, you've got to go, like, for example, this photos I shared with you for the dance floor.
Yeah.
There's all well and good saying, oh yeah, look at these dance floor pictures. They're amazing. But if you've got Barry from the local Working Disco Man's Dave. Club. Yeah, do you know what I mean? The chances of me getting that, that's playing Chaz and Dave three times.
I've heard this a million times over. And that, you can only photograph what's in front of you.
Absolutely.
You can't make stuff up.
No.
You can't run around and go, come on, everybody, get up on the dance floor. Because there's one kid spinning around the dance floor that you've only taken 20 pictures of this same kid and you're like, please.
Yeah.
So that's where the two go hand in hand. If you've got a good 100%. Entertainer and a good photographer that work well together, like we did that other week when we, you know, I was getting the crowd going, everyone's going nuts, and you're just going, bah, 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 bah,
yeah, it just makes it makes it easy for me, to be fair.
Everybody all round,
but generally, that it was full, the dance floor was full, and it's the same, like you said, with that entrance. If you've got someone that knows what they're doing and knows how to just hype literally bring that energy and just be like, generally, I watched you for that period and you looked like you was having the best night of your life.
I love my job.
But the thing is, you're walking around, you look up and you see you and you just clock eyes and you're like this big smile. And then all of a sudden I'm smiling and go, yeah, I'm having a great time as well.
But that's the whole infectious thing. So the difference between booking me and booking an ordinary, I call them an ordinary DJ, you know, just not someone not on the same wavelength as what I do, then I like to have that, you know, like exactly what you just said it all for me, where you have, because I'm enjoying it, and I do, I'm not faking that, like I absolutely fucking love it, like it's the bollocks, I'm in my element, I'm dancing around, I'm having the time of my life, and it is infectious, because when people see that, like what you just said, you can't help but be like, come on then, this is sick, and you want to, and that's the effect it has on the dance floor.
Yeah.
It's not just you, but it's all the guests as well. If they see me standing there and I'm just like this, and I'm not smiling,
no,
and I just got my head down and I'm not mixing, I'm just playing song after song after song, it just doesn't have that. It doesn't excite people, and people will just look over and be like, even if it's a good tune, they might not dance to it because there's no energy. There's nothing to vibe from. There's nothing exciting to get them over there.
Also, what happens is people hear fun and they come in. So people that might gravitate outside for a vape or a cigarette,
it's all kicking off in
the
dance.
They just hear. And all of a sudden they want to hurry up and get back. I've seen people go outside for a cigarette at weddings and still be there by the time I'm leaving. Like they've just stayed out there, just staying. Oh, I'm not going back in there. I've seen people that just can't wait to get that cigarette or vape done to get straight back in and hit the dance floor.
I've had a few situations where I'll be DJing and I've had brides and their bridesmaids on the dance floor and having it like all night, and they haven't left the dance floor in like 2 hours, and they're coming up to me, and one time they was like, can you please play a shit song so I can go for a piss, because I'm literally about to piss myself. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but no. You have to just piss on the dance floor. There's nothing I can do. It's just going to keep going, smashing the tune after tune. But it is like that. It's, you know, when you're doing that sort of like, that energy, people don't want to miss out. They don't want to leave the dance floor. And that's kind of how you create that busy dance floor and make everybody else want to come over, of all ages as well.
So
you've got to include everybody. You can't just focus too much on, you know.
But it's quite energised. Like, so even when I've worked with you've got another guy that works with you, Mark. Apologies for not forgetting his name. I worked with him at Villa's Barnes.
Yeah.
And I, even like say, just the speeches, just having that, still bringing that character.
He's having a bit of fun.
Yeah, introducing the things. Like, it's not like, done. Like, it's a little bit of
that. And again, a lot of people, it's hard because obviously couples are doing this for the first time. So they don't know, unless they've been to a few weddings, they might have got a few ideas from their mates' weddings, whatever. They don't really know sort of what it is and what it could be. So they kind of see things like, they might go to a friend's wedding and the venue go, oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the speeches. Here is the father of the bride.
Yep.
And they give the microphone over and everyone's like, you know, it's a bit awkward and weird. But when you go to a wedding, the way we do it, where it's like you have a little bit of fun, you have a bit of banter, then you introduce the speeches and you do it in a real hyped up, you know, everywhere, father of the bride, again, all standing up, clapping, cheering, whatever.
And then they deliver a really shit speech.
And then it goes flat as soon as they go, oh, hello, I'm really scared, everybody. And everyone's like that. Awkward.
Do you do the same thing as us? Do you look at each other or just think, oh, I know where this is going, because you hear the same joke, like, you know, when they've got one off the internet. But how good is it when someone stands up and just smashes a speech and you've never heard any of it before?
I've had a few of these actually, because I get booked. Majority of what I do is all day, so I'm normally there. So I've heard a lot of speeches over time. I will neither confirm or deny that I've nicked a few bits of other people's speeches for my own wedding. But yeah, I've heard some absolute corker speeches.
Yep.
There was one which was, funny enough you say, it was at Villiers Barn for Sophie and Matt. Lovely couple. She does actually makeup. She's a makeup artist in the wedding industry as well. And he's an estate agent, and his best man got up and he did this. He basically was selling the bride like an estate agent would, but he was using all these estate agent innuendos, and it was probably one of the best things I've ever heard on a speech. It was, I wish I could remember some of it now, but it was just absolutely fantastic.
Some people can just deliver them low, can't they?
Oh, you can tell who's a natural, like, who can just do it. And then you get the best men that are like really timid. Gonna keep this short. Thank you, everyone, coming.
Yeah, if they do,
that's it.
But it's like things like the jokes. I think me and Emmanuel always laugh at each other. We got that little look across the room there. Like, I say, it wouldn't be the same without you. I'd just be slightly cheaper. Yeah. You're like, oh, here we go.
Just waiting for the one that my dad's favourite one, which, it's the most, and I know you're going to know it, which is that it's been a very emotional day.
Even the cakes in tears.
Oh my God, that gets used way too much. And I hate that. And my dad did that joke at my brother's wedding, and everyone went, Oh, but do you know what's really funny? There's always at least one or two people that haven't heard it before. Yeah.
And they're and in they're stitches.
Like, ah! And you're like, oh. And it's so funny that it still you hasn't been laughing, heard.
You end up laughing,
yeah. Yeah, and he makes you laugh because you're like, it's such a shit joke. But it's so funny.
But you say that, there's loads at weddings where you think, you look at people, you think like, where have you been living? Have you not heard that? Or,
I like, know, it's like the go-to one.
Yeah. The one that always fascinates me is when someone walks up to a photo booth and goes, oh, these are good, aren't they? I'm thinking, where have you been?
It's been around since 1999, for God's sake. I know, that is funny.
No, but superb. But yeah, so then you from speeches, then I'm guessing it's just a depending on
little
the venue.
Little turnaroundy yeah. bit normally. He's normally like the greet the evening guests. You have a little bit of like, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minute downtime. You guys might take and whisk them off for some extra photos. They come back. And then, yeah, kind of kick it off from cake cut. So always do it like, again, a lot of people forget like how many songs you need at a wedding. So there's loads of little infill bits that I find, and not everyone does this. Like, I don't know, because you deal with other DJs, so I don't really know. But from what I've heard, like people normally just do really awkward cake cuts where they just, it's completely silent.
Right, just leave it over to me.
They walk out, they cut it and done. Whereas I like to make it a bit of a thing if they're going to do it. I'm not a fan of cake cuts. I personally think it's the most pointless thing ever at a wedding. I don't understand it. I don't know why you'd want a photo of you with a knife up with next to a cake.
do you know what I don't? I don't get that. If we put any food out all day, all night, and then cut it up and said, "Do you want some of this?" Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just like my logic. I'm like. That's been out all day.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm
going to
have that.
It's but like the donut wall, isn't
it? Oh, but making me cough. Yeah, no, it's true. But I like to make it into a... If you're going to do it, we'll make it into a thing. And I get them again. So it's a bit like the grand entrance, but not as energetic. But I always get them to pick a song. And I've always got to... It's always got to be upbeat, fun, something that's relatable to them as well. And then as everyone's gathered, because it takes 5 or so minutes to get everybody up and gathered round. So to have the song, so we introduce it, everybody come over, and while they're coming over, we'll play a banger. And then everyone's coming over, and they're like, they know it's evening time.
You walk to the dance floor.
like, singing along and loving it. I'm like, yeah, come on then, this is great. And that again sets a little mood, a little bit of energy, something a little bit upbeat. They come over, we do a really quick cake cut, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bosh, done. Move the cake, straight into first dance. One of my little secrets, you probably saw this when I did Polly and Cliff's wedding. And one of my excellent, like, I've been doing this for so long, you know, you get your little knee, you know what works and what doesn't work, so you kind of try and stick with what you know. So I do this thing where I mean, other people do this as well, but the order of this part is really crucial to how the start of your party goes. Now some people still do Father of the Bride dances. I like them. I know some people are like, oh, cringe, no, I don't like it. If you get on well with your dad, Do a dance with him. Yeah, he'll love that.
Yeah,
so. I would like, if my daughter said to me when she gets married, she's only 7, so we've got a long way to go there. But if she turned around and said, I don't want to dance with you on my wedding day, I'd be like, oh, hell no, we're gonna dance.
Yeah, exactly.
So I like that. I like that aspect. But if you're going to do it, I think the way I've structured it now to work perfectly, to make it pop in the beginning, is if you're going to do, I know the traditional way is you do the first dance, then you do the Father of the Bride dance, and then you go into party. And the problem with doing it this way is, you probably know this, you do the first dance and everyone's here to see the first dance. They're all there and they're loving it. And then you do the Father of the Bride dance.
And every man leaves the building.
No one really cares. Yeah. And it's hard to say because it's lovely. And it's great for the bride and her dad.
It's a family, intimate family moment.
It is. But not everyone cares.
No.
And what happens is everyone starts to fizzle off, especially those at the back. Oh, the bar's free. Come on, look, we don't need to see this bit. It's just her having a moment with her dad. So then what happens? Everyone fucks off. And you're now there going, shit, I've got nothing to start the party off because everyone's now gone to the bar, they've gone to the toilet, they've gone outside, they've gone over to get some stale cake, whatever. You know, so they're all kind of like spread out now, so it doesn't have the same effect. So What I now do is I always say to couples, do the father of the bride dance first. No one's going to leave because they all, it's the first dance time. They're all there to see you two. They all want to have watch you do the first dance. So no one's going to move a muscle. And I've proved this time and time again because nobody moves. Every time I do it, nobody moves.
Brilliant.
We don't do a full 4 minutes. It doesn't have to be awkward. You just do like a minute and a half. It doesn't have to be, you know, because it gets boring. Let's be honest. Even first dances, you know, you have your moment. And then after like 5 minutes song and everyone's sort of standing there going, is it finishing yet? Can we party? Is that another chorus coming? So we play about a minute and a half of the father-daughter dance. And then I create, like, make it into something a little bit magical and have, like, the bride's dad take her hand and sort of pass her over to the groom to have their first dance.
Yeah, it's nice.
So it creates a little intimate moment as well. Then we go into first dance. So everybody's still there. Another minute and a half in. So try and give it at least some couples. They go to me, they're like, oh, 10 seconds in. I'm like, listen, your photographer's going to do my balls if I bring everybody in and he ain't got the magic shot yet, he's going to do his nut. So I'm like, yeah, try and do at least a minute to a minute and a half. Then I will get everybody to come and join you. And then what that does, it's perfect for me because it gives me an absolute full dance floor because no one doesn't come on when I tell them to. And then it makes it less awkward for them because most couples that I deal with are like, oh, I'm dreading the first dance. It's really scary. And it is. It's not a lie. I mean, you've done a first dance.
Yeah,
it's fucking horrible.
It went on forever at all.
It was like forever. You're just swaying because you're not cool enough to do a proper routine. So you just sway left and right and everyone's staring at you. There's a million cameras, including the photographer, videographer. You're like, oh, God. So it takes the pressure off them, but it also gives me a full dance floor. So the first song that I will come in with will always be a club classic. As long as the bride and groom are happy with that.
Yeah.
Robin S. Show Me Love. Straight in after. So where the lights are all out on the mirror ball, it's all romantic and nice. The second I hit that first song in, all the lighting goes like instant nightclub atmosphere, boom, through the roof.
Every photographer I know, every videographer I know, we judge every DJ on the first song he plays after the first thing.
And how many times have you experienced when your legs down, you're like, what are you doing?
Do you know what? It's when you've got everyone. They've got everyone. Everyone join a couple and they're all bang. They're all on there.
And they're ready
and then,
for it.
And you think, right, there. And then it just like, calling the gang, is it called Celebration or whatever it is? God. And you're like, oh, drop me out.
It's ruining. Now you have to stay a bit longer now.
Yeah,
to
like even if you don't even like, because obviously as we've discussed before, like I love garage and that was my growing up thing. Yeah. So like obviously I gravitate towards that personally as my wife would.
Yeah.
But even if you just like indie, just there's so many lively songs. Shut Up and Dance With Me or something that's going to get people just bopping them and. But no, and then it's like
straight
that, especially in August, you just see the room just disappear and you're like, well, that's me till 10 o'clock.
Yeah, because you know, they're not coming back. Everyone's going outside and they're not coming back.
But yeah, we do. We judge you all on that first start. You can be as good, the nicest person in the world. You play me a shit one.
Yeah,
I'm never going to forget you.
I know, it's true. But that, again, see, so I want to work with you.
Yep.
And I want to be able to get those shots for you. So by doing that, I'm just fucking you up. And you aren't going to get those, well, not even you, the couple ain't going to get those pictures of everyone going nuts on the dance floor because you just fizzled it out from the get-go. At least give them something, even if it's the first 20 minutes. I'm not saying it's, you know, absolute carnage because the carnage stuff usually comes later on.
Yeah, exactly.
But it gives you enough that everybody's there, everybody's enjoying it, and it kicks off. They're ready for it. I mean, they've been drinking all day.
Yeah.
They're ready to party. You need to give them an instant party when that time comes.
Yeah, we work with one DJ sometimes at Mulberry House, and what he'll do, he'll go, when you go in? And I'll be like, no, not who you're thinking of. But he'll go,
I didn't say nothing.
He said, let me know when you're going. So I'll go up, and he goes, all right, I'm probably going to go in 10 minutes. Right, give me five. And he will call everyone on the dance floor and they don't know what they're coming up for. And he'll be like, right, you're going to just, when the tune plays, you're just going to look and dance to the camera. go. And he'll just, he'll play an absolute, like you say, an absolute banger.
What?
And literally, I just walk around the dance floor, a video walks around the dance floor, and as soon as they see the camera, they just start doing stuff. And honestly, mate, you like get a 60, 70 photos bagged in one song. You're like, that's sweet. See you later.
What? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, just, he's the only one, only person I've ever known really do it. And he just does, yeah, he just sort of like entices people
that's
up. And you
hilarious.
see him all like, what's going on? All mysterious.
Why are we here? Yeah. I don't know what we're doing.
I need everyone on the dance floor. And he's mad at a wedding. If someone says that,
yeah,
everyone
it.
Just goes because they're like, oh, what's happening now? Like,
what's happening? Yes.
Don't want to miss out. Got my phone ready. But yeah,
so
just literally like, and I'm like, yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
And like you say, then you get others that just constantly kill it. Like they kill themselves.
Yeah.
I've always said, though, to be fair, there's yourselves, and there's one other that I've never seen them foul to keep a dance floor from start to finish.
Yeah.
And it's the same personality, same vibe, same interaction.
Yeah.
And it's
so,
got everything
honestly,
going with
it's
it.
It's so crucial. I try and preach this so much, and it's such a big difference to. I mean, there's so many secrets. Well, they're not secrets. They're all on my website.
Yeah.
But there's so many ways to get that dance floor like that. And I think for me, the two main ones, the two absolute top spots for this is personality, just enjoying it, like just being there, bouncing around, having fun. I mean, I'm like around the house, man. I don't know how my missus bothers. Actually, I do know. She's just the same. So we're bouncing around the house together. But just personality, vibes, energy. You got to come big. You got to be. They're paying you to get the crowd hype. You can't just stand there. Like, you wouldn't do that if you're a photographer. They pay you to take some photos. You're just going to stand there like that and not press the button.
Some of them do, mate. Some of them.
That's true. Again, no names mentioned. Other photographers are available. So that's probably the biggest one. And for me, mixing. Now, I was actually really surprised to find out how many wedding DJs don't mix. And I think that is one of the most basic things that you should be able to do as a DJ. You can't really call yourself a DJ if you can't blend two songs together. And I know this sounds weird, and some people I know don't understand what mixing is, but when you're playing music, if you don't have a seamless transition from one song to the next song, you're going to have a gap. And that gap is what kills energy. So if you're playing a song and everyone's dancing and then it starts to fade out slowly and then there's like a little 1 second pause, the momentum stops.
Yep.
Everybody stops dancing for that 1 second and then now you're waiting for the next song. So he presses play on the next one. Now that tempo should be the same as the other tempo because you need it to be smooth. But some DJs will go from that, like say a garage song, and the next one's an R&B. So when they was all dancing all fast, the next one's going, oh, now it's a slow one.
Yeah,
and you're like, what's going on? And you need to create energy by mixing the same tempo. And you can build it up and you can play around. You can go up and down speeds, you know, throughout the night, but just not too drastically.
Yeah, not a massive jump.
Not massive jumps. If you're going, like, I usually start off with 90s club classics because they're all round. Family loves them, you know, all kids like it.
Yeah.
Older ones like it. It's just go-to. So when you start off with a club classic and then depending on what the bride and groom want, you know, we have loads of conversations and meetings and stuff about what they want. So it's just getting the right balance of what they want and looking at the dance floor and being like, right, I know what's going to work after this little club classic set. We might go up and do a little bit of 80s, but I've got to try and find 80s tracks that's maybe just a slight tempo down. So it's only a slight adjustment down so you can kind of bring it down to then R&B can kind of come down to that 90, 99, 100 BPM. So it comes down here. So when they want to do like, all the girls want all the Beyoncé's and all that sort of stuff. And then you can bring it back up. And you can hold it up to like drum and bass later on. But you've got to transition. You've got to be able to mix. Because it keeps everyone there. When the beat don't stop, no one stops dancing. You're giving people a reason to stop when you stop the music.
Again, I can always tell when somebody's mixed it completely wrong because you can hear the jump or they brought it on too.
Pots and pans
exactly.
Down the stairs.
But I've never ever thought of it that way, if that makes sense. But I've never really put, like, it's obvious when you say it out loud and you're just
everyone overlooks it. You don't really think.
But then that goes to having someone that knows
what they're doing
and you get, and it all goes back to the same process that you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Now I hold no secret that if pre being involved in weddings, having a party or whatever, and someone said, I said a DJ, and someone said over £400, I'd shiver. I'd be like, what? What do you mean it's over £400? I would. Where now, I swear to God, there is not a price cap. Yeah. I would if I'm having a party, and there's not a price cap I would stick. Like, obviously, I know who I'd go after and who I would want having a party.
Yeah.
So I would, if whatever their price is, potentially, I'm not going to say it's you because you might put a price up.
Hang on, he told me anything on that but podcast.
But do you know what I mean? It generally, you'd go, right, I want them. Yeah, I want them. And they've got a bit more. And you would, I've got to be honest, I even know people that book their date around their entertainment and music.
I have it all the time. Yep. I've got a phone call with someone this week, and she did exactly that. She gave me four dates, said, what are you available? I said, that one. She's like, I'll come back to you in a bit. Book that date.
Yep.
When can we book you in?
And it's so important.
It's mad.
I can't stress enough to people, that ain't me blowing smoke up your ass or anything like that. No,
it's a crucial part of the day.
It is so important. Yeah. And I'm admitting that day one, I never realised how important it was.
Yeah.
And it's only because I've done over probably 700 weddings in the last 15 years.
And you see it all. So you see what works and what doesn't work.
I'm telling you, when it don't work, it really doesn't work, right? And I've seen brides in tears where they're like, no one's dancing, no one's getting... Well, they're not going to.
I love hearing it from, because you've got such a different perspective to me, because I only see the good stuff, not being big-headed, but I just... shell it out every time. I go nuts, and it's always amazing.
It's like you say, just the vibe, the energy, the music choices, knowing the audience, like you said, even the point where you've just said there, like mixing and making sure that people we're not losing their flow too quick, and you're not you know what I mean, like all of those things definitely make a difference. Like 100%. And if anyone says they used to work on radio or in a hospital, avoid. So you've got jumping bit now, seeing about business. So obviously you got family, and I remember seeing you and your wife, and she looks like a proper cheerleader, because her reaction when you won, because you won it, I'm right in saying you won it 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah. So the first year you won it, you could definitely see what that meant, because you were sat behind me.
I didn't even know that. What's her, actually?
Her or your chair went flying.
That was mine.
And it was probably one of the best reactions I've seen at these awards dinners. It was great. And it was a good moment to sort of see.
Yeah.
But you could see it meant a lot. Was there a lot of planning that had gone into that, or just...
Okay. Oh, this is a whole other podcast on awards now, isn't it? Right. I've always not doubted myself, but you know, I've never really like... It's hard to see what other people see in you. So when I was going to enter, I entered the Wedding Industry Awards. God, when was this now? 2018 or maybe before? 2018, something like that, 2018. And I entered, and I'd never done anything like this before. I thought, meh, go on then. Let's see what we go with it. And I went there, and this was at a time when... we were going through a lot of weird stuff, because this was when I went full time. Rewind. This is a different time. We were just going through some weird family stuff, right? So me and the missus weren't in like our best place.
Yep.
So we entered the awards, and the awards night came, and we were like, should we go? Should we go? Don't know whether we should go or not. We ended up going. And at the time, we didn't really have much money. We just moved house, and there was a lot going on. Our daughter was young, and we just didn't have a lot of money at this point. So we went there with hardly anything. I think we had enough for like one drink each. And we were like, come on, let's just do it. Let's go. And went there and won. And when I tell you, I had no expectations of this. Zero. I was like, there's no way. You can't just come into a competition and win it. It's very rarely happens. You've got to go in a few times. And I won it, and it gave me this. I was like on top of the world. I was like, oh my God, this is like mad. Just come in and just won. My first award, I was like, shit, this is crazy. And I was buzzing, and it brought our mood up. Where it was a bit like, huh. And then we walked out of there fucking going nuts. We were like in the car, like, yes, oh my God, we did it. And then, so then I kind of got a buzz for the awards after that. And I was like, it felt so good to be recognised. And then when you get the feedback from like judges and couples, and you get to see what they've wrote about you when they do all their votes and that. And a few times I've gone through and I've got like tears in my eyes. I'm like, wow, has it had that much of an effect? Like how, what I've done for them.
Yeah.
It's really like.
It's for me, they're for you. They're not for business.
Yeah. No, they're for you. It's a personal.
Like, yeah. Anything I do award based, it be in photography world or the wedding world, it's for me. It's
to make
just,
sure that you're doing what just, you're supposed to be doing.
Just to make sure that you're where you should be.
Yeah.
And that, like you say, sometimes we are in places where we give off an exterior, we're all fantastic all the time. The reality is we're not. So sometimes to get that at the right time, like you just said, is so important.
So important.
And I think they get a stigma, especially wedding industry. People that don't enter them, and I'm not going to lie, I've sat there and seen a result come in and think, really?
Yeah.
Like, but
when
I
there
suppose,
are bogey awards out there, don't get me wrong, I've seen a few
you
of them.
You just think to yourself, like, oh, his entry must have been good, but you obviously haven't analysed his business because all like, you know what I mean? Like, but then, like you say, there's yourselves, and like David Dean won the same year, I think.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact David Dean transitioned his business from one extreme to another to follow his passion.
Yeah.
And to say, like, to see him get the reward for it.
Yeah. It's the reward,
you never doubt yourself. Yeah. And so by the sounds of it, it's similar to yourself.
It does. It just picks you up and you're like, right, so I'm obviously doing the right thing. Whatever I'm doing is working.
Yeah.
And then we got. Then when I found out, because I hadn't been long in Essex, I haven't been in Essex long at all, and I'd read a few things about the Essex Awards, and I was like, okay, maybe we should give that a go. And the first year, I've done the Essex Awards three times now. So the first year, I won the Highly Commended, which was the first year I did.
Okay.
And then then COVID hit after that, so we did. I think we had a year or two off, something like that. And then there was that.
So would that been the All Sit Hall one?
Yes.
The Highly Commended. Who won it? Can you remember who won the DJ? Wasn't it Mitch? Was it
Mitch?
Yeah. Okay, so that's the same one. Yeah.
So that was the first one I did.
That's the first one I did.
So I got the Highly Commended for that one, which again, I've just moved to Essex, got in the Essex Awards. It's like, oh my God, got a nice little trophy to come back with. I was like, I'm well happy with that.
just stopping you in your tracks there. I also got the Highly Commended that year for the photography room. And I remember not realizing what I was saying to people. Like, people come up to me going, oh, well done. I was like, yeah, it's better than nothing. And they're like, yeah. They were like, yeah, I didn't win nothing. Why don't you fuck off?
It wasn't a big one.
But I was like, I didn't mean that. Just upsetting everybody. Better nothing.
It'll do. No,
sorry.
That's like a massive recognition. And I doubt that a little bit. I'm like, oh, Highly Commended. What's Highly Commended? It's not, you know, the proper winner. But it's still a massive deal. Like, it's a really good recognition.
Yeah, exactly.
And then obviously went back to the other two Essex Wedding Awards done that year. And then this year, the one just gone. And then there's one more on the card. So I'm going in one more time to get a hat trick.
To get it all.
Fingers crossed.
And then
then that's it. And then
sell mentoring courses on how to win awards.
Again, that's another podcast. Yeah. How can I mentor people? That's true.
No, that's fantastic. Well, from what I see, mate, you know, the wedding we did, Polly, Cliff, they got a recommendation. I think they'd actually booked somebody and I convinced them wrongly, rightly, whatever. But I knew the person that they'd selected wasn't right for them.
Yeah.
That's not to say they're not right for other
people. I'd forgotten all about that. I completely forgot.
And I will continue personally to keep... Yeah. And I always say to people, I don't recommend for the sake of recommending.
No.
I just recommend the truth.
I get it. And it's going to make your job better because, you know, you get to do what you do best with a full dance floor, with things kicking off and atmosphere.
Exactly.
It'll make, other than you're just going to be standing there.
Yeah. and also...
kid twirling around the dance floor and you're like, right.
Because you do find, I've done it in the past, it's true, you when you enter this industry, you end up in like a little circle, a friendship circle to some degree.
Yeah.
And you realise actually it's very fickle, it's not really actually real, it's just to recommend each other and a little click. And
I've seen this loads.
And then you see it and you're in it and you're actually thinking, well, that's fine, but you're not actually the best in that.
No.
That I know. So where now we just go, look, I'll put my neck on the line. that's, and I think it tiers with where you level up.
Yeah.
So I think that when you grow, if you grow as a company or a business, and you're widening your audience and going to different, right, sounding horrible, different budgets and things like that, different venues, I think you then need to make sure that you're recommending people that definitely sit within that that level with you.
It's funny you've mentioned this, because I was talking about this with someone recently, and that is so crucial, because there are so many different budget weddings. You've got like the real high end stuff with big venues and like proper, I was doing like 100k spends like minimum on these weddings, and then you've got like, you know, the middle bracket of your sort of your average couple getting married, spending like, I don't know, 30, 40, 50k, and then you've got the real lower end stuff, and it's like your suppliers should really be matching up with what you're spending on them. You can't have a luxury wedding and then the florist goes, oh, I know a really good photographer, and you think, oh, again, it's old Bob down the road.
From the camera club.
From the camera club. And you're like, oh, God. It's not suited. You've got to have someone, the quality of their work has to match.
Absolutely.
The client and their vision and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, because I don't think it's believable in the end. I think, like you say, we have a recommended suppliers list, which I know we're in the process of getting you on there. And everybody on that list is of the same business level, if that makes sense. The same quality, at least.
Yeah.
Like no disrespect, but if you've got like a, I don't know, like, I know the different ranges, but if you've got like a florist, and I could think of the most amazing person in the world, but if you've just started and you're sort of finding your way,
it's risky for you. You don't want to then recommend someone just because you know them or they're friendly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then it kind of backfires on you, and they go, well, look, the guy was shit, and he didn't turn up. And you think, oh, God, I recommend them. That's where you've got to be careful. You can't just recommend people who you're friendly with. I actually get a ridiculous amount of Instagram inboxes from suppliers, from, you know, singers, all sorts. I get other DJs, and how do we get on the books? How can you recommend us? I'm like, well, I don't know you, so I can't just recommend you. Like, even if you paid me, then it makes no difference to me, because if you don't turn up or if you are shit and I haven't seen you work, or, you know, I haven't seen the quality of what you do, I'm going to look like an idiot, and my reputation is going to go from there to down there. And then they're going to be like, well, you recommended him, mate. And I'm like, sorry. So, yeah.
No, 100%. Like, it's it definitely has to be a right fit. And I have to truly, but I always say now, the only people that will make my suppliers page on my site is those that I would genuinely have booked myself.
Yeah.
Like,
If I wouldn't book them myself,
then you know what? They're not going to. No. And don't get me wrong, there's a couple of duplicates on there, because I'd be like, well, it'd be between, I would book either one. So it's just keeping it.
Yeah.
Keeping it honest.
Yeah. And the thing is, everyone has different styles, and couples have different styles as well. And some, although, you know, you say I'm good at what I do and you love what I do, that isn't going to be for everybody.
No, exactly.
Some people don't want a mad party. They're just happy with.
No, they're just fucking boring.
they're just boring as hell. They're like, yeah, don't worry about that. We'll spend all the money on flowers and gimmicky crap, but we'll have a geezer turn up with his iPod and press play.
Yeah, exactly. In the corner. No, but like you say, each their own. I think for me, up until recently, I was never a massive music. I'd know the tune, and I could go to the club, and when I was younger, and I'd be the bloke that'd come up to you and go, you know that one, blah, 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 and I'd have to hum it or try and sing it badly. And you're like, it's not called that, Andy. It's called this, and it's by this person. Like, you're talking about, we could easily get Usher and Neo confused. I'd be like, and I'd have a rant. No, it's not. It's, and my wife would be like, Andy, it's Neo.
You're wrong,
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, sorry, yeah, sorry. But recently, like, for me, music has served another, like, it's powerful, isn't it? Like,
yes.
So, but it's not, like, for me, now it's so important. Like, if I'm having a shit day, chuck on some tunes, and all of a sudden
it's the day's turning. So underrated. I mean, a lot of people obviously know, but it's like you're going out for a run, or you're going out for a bike ride, you stick your earphones in, man, music just, it's a whole different, you go out for a run with nothing and you're bored within a minute, you're like, oh, I want to go home now. But if you've got tunes on, you'll be drum and bass while you're running, you're like, come on, let's go. go.
I'll have to try that because I've not found any music that's got me running yet.
I'll give you my playlist. I said to you earlier, I've just started doing the Couch to 5K running, and I made a banging playlist.
Oh, yeah, I might have to share that. You'll have to share that over because
there's a couple of garage houses, a lot of drum and bassy stuff. I'm a big fan of Usher. I've got a few Ushers on there, like sing-along-y stuff, but yeah, I'll send it to you.
Oh, no, brilliant. So leading on perfectly, as we spoke about diets and losing weight, let's now talk about putting it all back on again. So I don't know if you know this, but we end every podcast the same way. You're rocking up to Greg's.
Oh, no. This isn't going
to
go well.
Yeah, you're rocking up to Greg's and you can only buy three things, or you buy them.
Three things from Greg's.
Three things.
Whoa. I'll tell you what my go-tos are, so this is probably what I'm going to go with. Steak bake, number one, best one.
What? Sorry, it's only warm. Yeah, it's never right in, is it? It's not warm.
You have to get it early in the morning for them ones. You have to be the first in the door. So steak bake, I do love a sausage and bean melt.
Yeah.
They are...
pretty powerful.
Banging. And I do like an apple Danish.
Nice. That's the first. It's the first time we've had an apple Danish on this podcast.
Yeah, apple Danish for me. I'm like, oh, with a little bit of icing on the top. Like, oh,
we had a squaddy in on the last podcast, and I said, "What's your favourite?" He went, "I'm going for a cat's arsehole." And I was like,
"What?"
Apparently, it's a sausage roll. It's an army term that they.
Of course it is.
I was like. But he didn't go, but he went, "I'll have a pack of that." A pack of that. I was like, that's sensible thinking. Like, he's not took one item. He's took a lot.
Took all the cat's arse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we don't have to have them.
Oh.
But honestly, mate, generally, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me on.
Keep doing what you're doing. Brilliant. Smashing
you
it. And I just generally hope that we work together a lot more.
I'm sure we will.
Legend.
We definitely will. Lovely to see ya.
Perfect. Nice top man.